Welcome to Holding the Space for Peace, episode 64 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Owigon. Andrea Petrut joins me today from Toronto, Canada, for a conversation about ways that we can hold the space for peace within ourselves, between ourselves and others, and in the world. We discuss the relationship between inner peace, outer peace, and world peace. Andrea shares some easy but very powerful tools for how we can find and maintain our inner peace, which is where all peace has its roots. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote came to me as I reflected on my conversation with Andrea. Hold the space for peace within yourself. Hold the space for peace in your life. Hold the space for peace on our planet. In this way, you become the shining light that helps to lead others to that most sacred space of true and everlasting peace. After losing her mother to cancer when she was 11 years old, Andrea took an empowering vision, made it her reality, and became her own pillar in life, lifting herself and others on her path. As an intuitive life and relationships catalyst, Andrea combines a unique form of insight to help multi-passionate, heart-centered women center on the present moment. With laser-focused energy, she helps her clients expand their hearts for themselves and their family while anchoring and living their vision for the world. Andrea is a heart imagery teacher at the School of the Heart, entrepreneur, trauma-informed writer, speaker, storyteller, leader, home educator, host of Healing Through Oneness podcast, and advocate for love. Originally from Romania, she currently lives with her husband and three children in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. She loves to create, invent, inspire, build, and see the world with all its beauty. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to be with you.
Oh, such a joy to be with you here now. Thank you.
I know that you see a strong connection between inner peace and outer peace, and that you see both as the foundation for world peace. Can you please share an example of an important experience where you had to take the role of peacemaker and bring peace into your own life and what you learned from that experience?
The first event that comes to mind is when 2 years ago here in Canada, I was with my boys at home and they had their usual sibling conflict. This time, it was really heartbreaking for me because, you know, the oldest was about 10 years old, the youngest about 7. Since the youngest was around 1 year old, they kept having these conflicts that reached the level of fighting, you know, physically hurting, mainly the youngest one hurting the oldest one. And for me as a mother, it's always heartbreaking to have my precious children, those that I love equally so much, to see them hurting and hurting individually and hurting each other. And over the years, I tried to do lots of stuff, but this time, hearing what happened, I said, that's it. I want to try something different. So what happened was the youngest one, again, did something. He scratched his older brother. Now, I was in the hallway. The oldest son was in front of me on the staircase, and the youngest son was hiding in between the sofas. I looked at them while the oldest was trying to share what happened and crying, and I also saw where the youngest one was hiding. I knew the story between them. I had it in my mind. I had in my mind all the things that I tried that didn't work. And in that moment, holding space, holding love for both of them and holding love for myself and just holding that intention of peace and surrender, I said to myself, I want this to have an end, one that the three of us can be empowered by. Now, I knew from my own experience as a person who has been bullied in childhood and who has felt injustice of not being heard, understood, and not having that fairness in her life. You know, I was bullied and my bully was not, I wouldn't say reprimanded, but he was not the one who was questioned. I, the victim, was questioned. So when I saw my two boys, I wanted to mediate, to make them feel loved, no matter what they did. And for the oldest was hurt, to feel the justice, to feel that he's soothed, that I'm there, I understand, and I am protecting him. To the youngest one, I wanted him to understand what change means and to know, like I've always told him, you are a good kid. It's the attitude that I would like to see changed. And I knew from experience and what my parents were trying to teach me that taking responsibility of what you have done is the best thing for yourself in the moment, and people will forgive. Now, I know why my youngest son was hiding, because I used to be, I want to say harsh, but I knew I had my moments. I used to yell at them, and it is very harsh. It's, I would say, verbal aggression. It's not okay for anybody. So I knew why he was hiding. In fear that I would be upset, I would have some reactions he wouldn't like. So what I did is I challenged him to confront me, assuring him that I'm not upset. And all I want him is to stand up, look in my eyes, and take responsibility and be brave, because I appreciate him when he's brave. And this is what I advise him to do in life. Be brave, take responsibility, because that shows emotional intelligence. So just having these conversations with each of them, making sure each of them understands what happened and why. We got peace, and I got two boys who were healing right when the conversation was happening. I, as a mother, could feel the love coming from them, feel them calming down, and I started having even better relationships with them.
That's a great story. Thank you. I really appreciate some of the key points that I heard in what you were saying. I heard you talking about holding the space for peace and creating a safe place for your son to be able to step into his courage and take responsibility for his actions. Those are such important lessons, not just for our children, but for us as adults too, and for our world leaders as well. You talked about empowerment. All of those things are near and dear to my heart and among the things that I talk about so often in this podcast. I want to commend you for how mindful you were in dealing with that conflict. And I know that modeled so many wise things for your sons. It's just a great story. Tell us about some of the tools and practices you have to bring peace to yourself when you're faced with challenges or adversity.
The tools that have helped me with that event, with having that attitude in the moment, have been, first of all, the love for people. I love people, and I always believe we all have something good in us. There's light in us. And I always hold on to that thing, no matter what bad thing somebody does. And despite the anger that I feel, despite all the things, I hold on to that. There's light. We are creatures of God. There is sacredness. There's divinity within us. The other thing has been basically what I did is I've shifted my perceptions, my limiting beliefs, and I found peace towards moments that have been traumatizing for me in life. And the more I practiced, the more I did it, the more I found peace with everything. The third thing that I did, especially in that moment, was breathing. So these are the three things that I still do today: holding love and trusting there is divinity within us, shifting my limiting beliefs, and finding peace or non-attachment toward traumatizing events or events that upset me, and breathing, just breathing in and breathing out at least three times to calm down. And currently, since 2020, I started using heart math practices from the tool of the heart, heart imagery, which is very simple exercises to shift the emotional state, mental state, and find emotional and mental balance.
Those are great tools. I really appreciate what you talked about with that deep breathing, because it is so important to our psychology and to our body, and the way that our adrenaline reduces when we breathe deeply and we come out of that fight or flight bodily reaction through that deep breathing. I think a lot of people don't even realize that there is something physiologically happening when we breathe deep. We just know that we feel better and our mind clears. But yes, it takes a lot of the adrenaline out of those responses that we have when we are upset about something or afraid of something. And it's such a powerful tool. I also really appreciate what you said about looking for the good and the light in each person. We so often forget that in times of conflict. And, you know, even when we are in times of war, as our world is now with what's happening in Ukraine, I find myself wanting to judge those leaders who are doing things that cause so much pain and trauma and loss of life. And I find that when I look at these things that are happening right now and that our world leaders so often do, if I'm unconscious, I want to go into a place of hating that person. And yet that brings up a darkness in me that I work hard to dispel with light. So I do what you do in terms of looking for what is the good in this person, even though they are doing things that I consider very wrong. What are their thoughts behind that? Are they looking for something good to come out of these actions? What can I notice about the blessed being within this person who is doing things that are so traumatic? And I think it's such a good reminder that you've shared with us to always look for the good and the light in the person. And that helps keep us from feeding what I call the field of darkness, where when people hate or people love, I believe that that feeds a universal field. The more that we do, as you're talking about, with really looking for that light and that goodness, the more likely we are to put good energy out into the field rather than feeding the field with darkness and hatred. Such beautiful lessons you bring to us. Thank you. I know that you see different kinds of connections with inner peace and outer peace. Why is inner peace important, and what effect can inner peace have on our lives and on our evolution as beings?
Thank you for asking this question. My belief is we are all connected. We are all one. If we're thinking of the HeartMath Institute, which using biofeedback systems and EEG discovered how the brain and heart work, who transmits the information to whom, they discovered how wide is the electromagnetic field of the heart. And they've seen that when the heart is in coherence, the brain is in coherence too. And it's the heart influencing the brain. So just knowing and wondering that this amazing part of the human body, the heart, and what it can do physically and energetically, we can see why it's so important to have that level and that state of mind of peace, because we are influencing each other. If I have somebody around me, they said it's about 20 feet away, the field of the heart reaches 20 feet away around us. Some people say it's even larger than that. So if I'm stressed and I have somebody around me who's at peace, my stress is going to reach that person. And that person will have a hard time staying in peace, or will have to, quote unquote, fight to keep that peace that they already had. I've seen it with my children. When I am at peace, my family lives in harmony and joy. If I'm stressed, my children start misbehaving or not feeling okay. I realize that these studies are so true. So I believe that by taking care of ourselves and of each other, by being aware that we are influencing with our state of mind and the state of our being, the state of other people around us, and by knowing that our words, our thoughts, everything we do, our actions have ripples of different kinds wherever we go. By knowing that and taking control of our inner state, we can bring peace to the community, to the environment. And the more each of us does that, you know, starting from the ground level, then we're going to see the change in the world, because the change starts with each of us. If we're asking for the leaders to calm down, find wisdom, bring peace, they have their own things they are going through. They have their own inner turmoil. We cannot help them. They need to help themselves. What we can do is, each in our own space, see how we can do better, be what we need to be in the moment, what others need us to be in the moment, or simply just hold a space of peace and love for ourselves. That's going to have an impact on others too. We change the world one by one, from small to big.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about how many stressors there are in the world today. We have our financial pressures, we have the environmental crisis, we have crises of violence and injustice, we have all the pressures both in our home, in our personal world, and then in the greater world. And that leads to a lot of tension, stress, and anxiety, and all of that can cause us to show up in very agitated, irritated, angry ways. And there's so many pressures for our world leaders for all the decisions they make. Everything you're saying is so right on, so important to hear. And I know that many people don't have tools to help them find that inner peace. You mentioned the deep breathing as one way to bring ourselves to a state of calm. I'm wondering if there's other tools or suggestions that you have for our listeners about how they can find inner peace in the stressful worlds that they live in.
Yeah, we all need that. I have three more tools that have helped me, and two of them I can share, and I think it's going to be easier for people to do. One is 60 seconds of gratitude. Whether you're driving, whether you're home, wherever you are, if you feel anxiety, stress, for whatever reason, instead of thinking of what's going on and asking yourself questions, just put a timer or simply start thinking of all the things you can be grateful for in the moment. It can be as silly, as small, as important for you. It doesn't matter. Just think of something and say, I'm grateful for, I'm thankful for, and keep doing it until you reach a state of peace. It's going to happen. I've learned this from my friend Marjorie Dietrich. Another tool that I've been using, even before coming to your podcast, is praying for inner peace, praying for peace inside of me, praying for peace outside of me. And how I pray is, I've learned from my teacher, Daniel Mittel. You have a 15-minute meditation on the School of the Heart website. Basically, what we're doing is you start with the breathing, and then we breathe into the heart. We bring peace in our hearts. And when we breathe out, we bring peace around us in the world. And you can expand and think of all the people you know who need that peace. Could be the world leaders, could be your friends, your family, or just to yourself. Just hold on to that prayer to yourself. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes to just call intentionally that peace inside my heart. And I actually see in my heart a field of light and joy and whatever I need to bring into my heart just to change my state in the moment. And just continue with the breathing in and breathing out. And when you feel the change, you can stop and continue with what you're doing. The other thing that I've been doing is being in the body. Whatever helps you be in the body. For me, one of the ways is go outside and look at the tree, or simply at the window. If it's too cold outside, I cannot get out because I have the children. I just look out the window at the beautiful trees I have. Just put a hand on heart, hand on gut, and I connect with my body. And that is love. Love that we give for ourselves. It's soothing. It calms us. We get out of that fight or flight response, and it calms our nerves. which is so important.
Those are some really great tools, I have to say, and all of them at no cost. There's no financial investment. People don't have to go pay for something to help them feel calm and centered. It doesn't require any medication. It's wonderful. And so an attitude of gratitude, as my friends like to call it, is something that you find really helps you to find that inner peace, to focus on what you're grateful for rather than on the things that are troubling you and that you're fearful of. Did I get that right?
Yes.
And that ties into the law of attraction, which I've talked about in a couple of episodes of this podcast. What I understand from the law of attraction is that which we focus on is what we bring into our lives. Even if we're focusing on what we don't want, because we're focusing on it, we bring more of it into our lives. So the idea of focusing on all the things that we are grateful for, not only does that help us psychologically and spiritually, it also helps us to bring in more of those things that we are grateful for because we're focusing on that. We're putting our energy there. And then when you talked about that visualization and the prayers for peace, both inner and outer, all of those are such subtle yet powerful manifestation tools. And I appreciate you bringing those to our attention. And then one of the things that people rarely think of, and quite honestly, I don't think of unless I'm doing a meditation, is the idea of mindfully connecting with our body and being present in our body and doing those things that help us to feel present in our body and to recognize what is our heart doing, what is our mind doing, what is our body doing in this moment. When we're connecting with our body and then we're connecting with our spiritual self, that helps us to connect to the greater truth and the greater field, I guess, for lack of a better word, that is outside of us. So everything you're talking about reminds me of that saying, you know, as within, so without, as without, so within.
Yeah, I totally agree with all you said.
We are very aligned, and you're one of the few people that I hear frequently using the phrase holding the space. I think that's such an important concept and such an important practice to hold the space for peace, to hold the space for what we want to see in the world. And part of that holding the space has to do with modeling how we want others to show up in the world by how we show up. And that story that you were telling about your sons tells me that you were modeling for your sons. Here is a way that you can show up, even if you're upset, even if you've done something that others see as wrong or is hurtful to someone, that what you were doing is you were modeling, hey, you can have the courage. You can take responsibility. You can co-create peace with your brother, with your world. I think that's so important. And I think that modeling that for our children, as you are with your sons, holds the promise that future generations may have more peace and wisdom than current and past generations have had. And that's how we feed the evolution of our species and the evolution of our world. So congratulations on all the ways that you are planting so many positive things in the world.
Thank you. And to continue what you just said is true. It's happening in my family. The emotional training that I did with myself, that like you say, I did my best to model with my children and I kept doing it on and on, on and on. Now it's so clear that this is a change. It has been the best thing for my children. And we as a family are modeling what is possible for others. It is possible, despite the conflicts, despite the emotions that come up, despite all that, to hold space in a family, in a community, for each of us to be who we are in the moment, to be accepted with who we are, how we feel, to be loved and to feel the love. And also to allow lessons and wisdom to come forth without hurting each other while having that lesson or that wisdom, because that was my idea. Thank you. What you noticed about modeling and holding space, that's what I wanted. I wanted them to show it's possible in a different way. And I want to show myself and my ancestors that I can do it. I can transform the traumas in our families. I can start a new story in my life, in my family, in my community. And I keep sharing that because I know, because I did it, everybody can.
Exactly so. And that's another way that you are modeling for others what might be a better way for them. And of course, it's up to each of us to determine what the best way is for us. But I think that modeling, not just for our children, but for one another, of here's a way to be in the world that not only causes no harm and no pain, but brings joy and brings peace and radiates from within us to the entire planet if we live in that way. And so I'm so happy to know that you are on the planet and that you are showing up in the way that you are. It's a beautiful thing to see, and I am so happy that we had this opportunity to connect. Are there any last thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners in the few moments that we have remaining together today?
Yes, about leadership. You and I both shared about today's leaders. I invite us all, especially the listener, to think that change starts from the bottom up, not the other way around. If we want the leaders to listen, to hear themselves, to hear others, and to be tolerant, loving, caring, and wise, we need to find ways for us to be like that and to encourage that in our families, in our communities, workplace, to hold that space so that either us or those who can be those leaders rise up, stand up, feel supported, so that one day either the leaders who are today can transform and become those who they can become, or step aside and make way for a new generation of leaders or new leaders who can really support the change and help us have that, what I call a society that is sustainable for all, for the best and highest good of all.
I appreciate all of the wisdom that you've shared today. Thank you. To learn more about Andrea and her work, go to andreapetrut.ca. That's andreapetrut.ca. She has generously offered a wonderful gift for you, dear listeners, her 7 Keys to Clarity, a quick guide to move you forward to the aligned love and relationships that you envision. To receive this gift, go to her website, andreapetrut.ca/7keys to clarity. There are several ways that you can help co-creating peace stay strong and live long with your financial support, your contributions to the content, and by sharing co-creating peace with others. Your financial support will allow me to contract a production assistant to help with the editing of this podcast, which in turn will support my work-life balance by allowing me 1, maybe even 2 days off per week. Currently, between my company Bridges of Peace and this podcast, I work 7 days a week to provide my services. Become a patron of Co-Creating Peace by going to www.patreon.com/co-creating-peace. That's patreon.com/co-creating-peace with no hyphen in co-creating. Patrons pledging $10 or more per month will receive thank you gifts ranging from communication worksheets and workbooks to free communication coaching sessions with me and co-creating peace t-shirts, coffee mugs, and tote bags. To contribute to the content of this podcast, send me your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, that will be a helpful contribution to the content as well. Many episode topics and guests were suggested by listeners like you. Write to me with any questions you may have about anything I've shared with you. I will reply within 2 business days. I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. The best way to reach me is to email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON at bridgesofpeace.com. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by the patrons who support Co-Creating Peace through Patreon.com and by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.